Wow, that's beautiful. And as Christian praise reveals sin in us, you know, that's not what we think about sometimes during our service, but it's right. It's true. You know, sin aches. It does. Like a distance runner who has endured a long race, there's that lactic acid that builds up in the runner's legs. And the only way to get it out is to agitate it, get moving, move around. And it begins to agitate it. And then once it's agitated, it gets skimmed off. And so too, as we're here at church, boy, as we read the Word of God, it reveals things in us. It can. Or prayers or songs. But we ought not to stay in that place. We ought to give it to the Lord and walk out of here lighter, freer, more joyful people than when we came in. The church time together as a family is not to burden us, but to lighten us. Because he's worthy. He's worthy. That lightens me. I look at that scenery there. I think, man, is that what Belgium looks like? I don't know. I've never been there. Colorado. You're going to Colorado. So Alex here goes from church today, and then 2 days later or so, she's in Colorado, then in Texas, and then eventually she makes her way to Virginia. Is it South Carolina? You know, it's all a blur past Nevada to me. I don't know what it is, but man, she's in for a journey. It's going to be, and traveling with cargo in the front. It's just amazing. That's great. So being baptized while pregnant, it's going to feel good. That's going to be awesome. So praise the Lord. Yes, and Kimberly too, and of course, so many people joining us. If you have a moment, man, right after service, and I'm going to cut a little short today, please make a moment to come over. We're going to do the baptism first, right off the bat, and then we'll have a little buffet. And I know this because Joe Romano's barbecuing for me, so I know we're having a buffet. As a matter of fact, Joe Romano, is he back there? Rebecca, is he back there? He left already. What? Oh, my goodness. He's anxious. Yeah, he has a big job, flipping hamburgers and putting on the beans and all that stuff. So, and then, of course, topping it off with a baby shower. That's incredible. That's a lot in one day. It would be enough to have a baptism, but no, we have to have a buffet and a baby shower, too. Wow. Anyway. I failed to do this morning, so I'm going to do it now. Turn around and say hi to somebody. I mean, say hi to Reagan's parents here. You know, there's Tina and Tara is over there. Sally's there. Man, oh, man. I blew it this morning. I didn't even say hi. I just, like, was right into it. Gosh. Are you going to be at the baptism today? Okay, that's for you. You can help Joe maybe today. It's a little help. Anyway, wow. You know, most people like new things. I say most people because we have a counselor at our camp that is at our camp, and when we give him the T-shirt on Friday, after a week of camp, he will not put it on. He won't wear a new shirt until he washes it once. Maybe you're thinking, well, what? That's right. Everybody does that, don't they? But some people will not put on a new shirt. So this is why I say most people like new things. I know I enjoyed having a new semester at school. Especially after a tough semester, man, I wanted a new start. And so that was something I look forward to, new semester. Some people like to live in a new place. You're going to experience that real soon. You're going to go from one coast to the other coast, pretty much. And there's some excitement in a new place to live. I enjoyed living in Mammoth Lakes, Seal Beach, Ida Wilds. Certainly here, I enjoy living here. But there's excitement that comes with a new place, right? Some people like to read a new book. They can't wait to get their hands on a new book, new story, whether it's a new book of the Bible or a new book. Yeah, that's exciting for some people. David Stringfellow was here this morning, and we were sharing how it's exciting to get a new bike, you know, or even just new parts for your bike. He's a world-class mountain biker, and man, he puts on some new components. Feels good. A new guitar. Playing a new guitar for a musician is a neat thing to do. We bought a new vacuum for the church yesterday, so the cleaning crew can enjoy just buzzing around. and probably felt good. You know, I'm clean and crew number two, so I won't experience it, you and I, Josh, till next week. But cleaning crew number one got their first hands on it. So there you go. But, you know, even our new things get old pretty quick. They do. And we start looking for things to replace the old new thing with a new thing. It happens so fast. Leland, you know, Lacey's oldest son, he waited so long to get the Lego pirate ship. You know, it's huge, right? And costly. And he began asking for it months before his birthday. He planted the thought in everybody's mind so he could pull their money together and get the Lego pirate ship. And so he got the Lego ship on his birthday. He woke up at 6 in the morning. His mom said he just waited till it was light. And he worked on that thing all day, 12 hours. He built it in one day. He built the Lego ship. And then he looked at it for a while, you know. And the next day he looked at it. Well, it wasn't more than 2 weeks that he said, I need a piece from this thing, from something else I'm building. So he took the piece off the Lego pirate ship, and the thing collapsed. And so you would think he'd be upset, but you know what? The rush, the fun for him was in the building. It wasn't in the thing so much. But now he's saying, I need the Lego island for Christmas. So now he's starting very early. But again, that's how it is with stuff that we get. Our new stuff becomes old very quickly. But I am so happy to tell you that today we're going to read about new things that will never grow old. And it starts with a new heaven and a new earth. And then it goes from there to the new Jerusalem. And then all things new. New building materials, new water to drink, a new time zone. There's so many new things in the book of Revelation. So if you like new things, this is your chapter. Revelation chapter 21 is the best new chapter, I think, that there is. As God is back at work creating things again, brand new. And so let's enjoy the newness of Revelation chapter 21. Thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name. Would you fill us once again, Lord, with an understanding through that power of the Holy Spirit of this new chapter, God. Let it encourage us, Lord, as we grow weary from things, God. Let this lift us in a special way today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. This is why I have this can, by the way, here. I don't usually put a coffee can on my podium, but I'm serving a new flavor coffee today. I'm serving vanilla nut coffee in the back. So if you like flavored coffee, you're going to love it. If you don't, then you're going to pass on it. But I couldn't pass. It's Don Francisco's 2-for-1. So anyway, also something new is we're doing the announcements at the end of service and the collection at the end of service, too. So if you think it was worth $4, throw $4 in there. You know, what it says, whatever. But we're keeping in the theme of new stuff. And so here we go. New things. Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It's amazing to think that this city is already, it's somewhere in the third heaven or something. It's not in the atmosphere or the stratosphere, but somewhere it's there, and it's waiting to come down to us for this moment. Adorned as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice, a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men and women, of course, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Notice, the tabernacle is a he. It's Jesus. He's the embodiment of the presence of God. He's God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And just last week, I think it was, we saw the description of Jesus. Two of the descriptors were faithful and true. and he makes all things new. That's everything. That's awesome. And he said to me, verse 6, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give up the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Former things are done. The rest, eternity is just beginning at this point. This is when time ceases as we know it. No more bounds of schedules and spaces. Verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son and my daughter, of course. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that was last week's topic, was the great white throne judgment, where those who have either rejected Christ, who have rejected the existence of God as seen through nature, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So even those who have never come to know Jesus Christ, God has revealed himself to them through nature. We're going to get into this in the book of Romans, which we're going to be studying very soon. But God reveals himself to those even who have never heard of Jesus Christ. And we can bet that God's judgments will be faithful and true. Because many ask, well, how about those who never heard of Christ? How can they be judged? Hey, the ultimate judge will judge them rightly. We don't have to worry about that. Those questions stumble some people. They boggle their minds. Theologians spend years trying to figure it out. Listen, Jesus has it figured out already. He'll take care of it. Our job is to share the gospel. That's the best way. That's what the position you want to be in on Judgment Day is, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's no doubt about it. You don't want to be at the Great White Throne Judgment. That was last week's topic. Again, I encourage you to give it a listen because it gives more credence to this chapter. It makes it even more important. Verse 9, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride of the Lamb's wife. And again, the bride is residing. The church will be with Jesus Christ in this new Jerusalem. It's going to be amazing. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, which most would say is a diamond, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, that's an amazing thought, that those names will be inscribed for eternity on these gates. We have little memorial plaques at our camp that you're going to go to after this service. From 1974, Robert Jones donated money for the pool. Well, that thing is fading away. But these will never fade. The names of the 12 tribes of Israel are that important as God brought the Messiah through Israel. Not only that, but the wall of the city, verse 14, had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So again, wow, their names will not be forgotten. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth or width. And he measured the city with the reed. 12,000 furlongs, its length, breadth, and height are equal. And he measured its wall 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. So it seems like this cube city, it's a cube, is 1,500 miles in length, height, and width, which is almost exactly the length from Tijuana, Mexico, to Vancouver, British Columbia. So think about all those people who hike the Pacific Crest Trail. They go the whole distance, 1,500 miles. This is unlike a city we've ever seen before in its shape and its size and what it contains as the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, resides in this New Jerusalem. The construction of its walls. Again, as jasper, the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. These are the building materials of heaven. This is what you're going to find in the heavenly Home Depot. These are we go to the shop for these things in a glass case on very, very, very special occasions. We buy these types of gems and stones, precious metals. But in heaven, on the new heaven, man, they build stuff out of those things. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. This is fascinating. Each individual gate was of one pearl. Can you imagine that? We think about gold plating, but a pearl that is unfurled and so thin, transparent, and that's what makes up one gate. And the street of the city was pure gold. So gold is asphalt, basically, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Wow. New things for us today. And again, God is back at work creating things. And this time it's a whole new heaven and a whole new earth. The old earth, as we know it, that we're living in right now, the Bible teaches is under Satan's control. He's the ruler of this world, Jesus said. He's the God of this earth, Paul said. He's the prince of the power of the air. He controls the airwaves and everything. And just as Satan was dealt with last week, he was cast into the lake of fire with the false prophet and with the Antichrist. Now it seems like the earth, as we know it, comes to a similar end somehow. I want you to listen to what Peter wrote about this moment. This moment when we read that there's a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. We see mention of it last week in verse 11 of chapter 20, when it says, I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. That word also, people say, is it receded or it was folded up. Peter wrote about this moment, I think, from what I gather. Listen to this, 2 Peter chapter 3. If you want to find it while I'm taking a sip of my hot tea here, go right ahead, but I'm still working through some of the, a little bit of the dead cells that I think are floating around, but praise the Lord, I'm through it. And again, the antibodies are pumping, but the old stuff's still jumping, it seems like, so I'm going to drink the tea right here. Peter says this, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, this letter, in both of which I stir up your minds, your pure minds, by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, or the prophets, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. So water, in a sense, I think that's why there's no sea in the new heaven and new earth. It seems like it's part of the judgment. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Two things I want you to notice. In the last days, scoffers will come. Those who say, you know, Tony, you keep on talking about Jesus coming back, Maranatha, but where is he? You know, why doesn't he come today? It's a pretty bad place. Why doesn't he just come and end this thing? Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, where I attended from 1980 to 1990, on the side of one of their buildings that faced the street by the gas station, it had a big rainbow and clouds, and it said, Jesus is coming again soon. And that was 1978. They put that mural up there. And after a while, people started saying, are you going to take it down? Because it's been, you know, almost 50 years. Remind us that in God's timeline, 1,000 years is a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. So it's been 2 days, really, if you think about God's timeline. But Peter says this. He says, hey, God's preserving things right now by his word. He preserves this earth as we know it. But he says this, verse 8, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day, I just said it, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. He's not going to flake out on us. He's going to come back for us. But he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm glad the Lord waited for my dad to cry out to him. You know, I'm so glad I'm going to see my dad in heaven. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away. This goes back to our verse we just read in Revelation 21. In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be, conducting yourself in holy conduct and godliness, looking for, anticipating, and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved. There goes the heavens, there goes the earth. Being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So Peter the fisherman becomes Peter the prophet as he's writing about these things that we're reading about in Revelation 21, that God upholds things now. He keeps things together by his word. But there's going to come a day when at his word, the earth and the heavens will be dissolved. They'll melt with a fervent heat. Atoms stay together, how atoms can join together and make elements as these opposing forces are within the nucleus and the electrons are swirling around. And most would say, why doesn't the thing just come apart and unbound? How does it even hold together? What holds it together? Even the greatest scientists just can't figure it out, but we know it. We know what holds it together. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, he holds it together. Colossians 1:16, Paul writes this. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Of course, the first to rise from the dead and never to die again. But now get this. For by him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. That word consist means hold together. Jesus holds the whole thing together. Every atom that should just explode and unbound is held together by the word of God, by Jesus Christ, the living word. What happens when we attempt to split those atoms? When we put effort into doing that? Well, obviously radiation is released, and the greatest, of course, of that is a nuclear explosion. But one day, according to Peter and Paul, those things are going to be unbound by Jesus, by the word of God. And the earth and the heaven will melt away. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Amazing. So a new heaven, a new earth, no longer under the curse. As good as it gets here, it's nothing compared to what it's going to be like. When I lived in Mammoth, I thought to myself, there could be no greater place on earth. It's the most beautiful place I've ever been to. when I would be in the water at Seal Beach, paddling out very early in the morning, I would look out as far as I could and I'd say, well, it's the most beautiful place. It just couldn't get any better, you know? But these things will pale in comparison to what is before us. And we, this morning, John and Sharon Scott played the song that for some is a cliche, but it struck me in a new way. They played, I Can Only Imagine. It was the perfect song because it's hard to imagine this. It seems too good to be true, but it's true because Jesus is faithful and true. But we closed our eyes, we thought about it. Wow, what it's going to be like. It's so hard. Sometimes when we're right here, we're living this close to everything. We don't think about heaven enough, but we ought to. And then John sees this new city coming down, the new Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. And I think the most interesting thing about the city, the new Jerusalem, again, is its shape and its position. It's hovering in the air above the earth, and it's a cube. A floating city unlike anything we've ever seen, of course. And John's, he's the angel say, behold, the tabernacle of God where God dwelt with men. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Now, there's so many things we could focus on in this chapter. I don't want to skip this one because I believe that this moment is the final fulfillment of the seventh feast of the Jews called the Feast of Tabernacles. As Jesus tabernacles amongst us, he dwells with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He tabernacled with us on earth for a while, but now he tabernacles with us in the New Jerusalem in heaven. Here's Jesus. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles is the seventh feast of the Jews. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost. The first four, Jesus fulfilled those. He was the Passover lamb. He was sinless. He was the unleavened bread. He was the first fruits of the resurrection, never to die again. He was the first fruits to rise from the dead. Again, never to die again. Lazarus, he died again. The little girl, Jairus' daughter, she died eventually. But Jesus, risen to never die again. So first fruits, Jesus. And then we would follow after that. Pentecost would come, and we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. As we talked about at the beginning of the service, as the Spirit comes and a rushing mighty wind. And after that, the apostles would give their lives. But Jesus fulfilled those four feasts. There's three yet to come. Trumpets. And the trumpet of God will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with the Lord. That's the rapture. That's coming still. The Day of Atonement. When all Israel will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they'll believe in the Messiah, finally. And then now, the last one, Tabernacles. The last feast of the fall, usually October. And this is this moment when the Jews will leave their houses, and they'll build tents or shacks, and they'll live in them, and they'll remember God's provision for them in the wilderness, how God provided for them. For those years. But one thing that I think is the most significant that happens on the Feast of Tabernacles has to do with streets. And they walk to the temple. And then when they get to the temple, they take this water and they begin to pour it on the sacrifices. And they do it again and again and again. So pretty soon, the whole temple was filled with water, up to their knees maybe. And it was at that point in Jesus' life, maybe with 1 month left to live on earth, that Jesus went into the temple on the Feast of Tabernacles. And when he was standing with water up to his knees, on the Feast of Tabernacles, he said this, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit that was to be given to those that believed on him." The last day of the feast, the water was flowing, and Jesus says, "Listen, I'm the living water. Whoever thirsts, come to me and drink." Those Jews were thirsty. The law had not fulfilled them. And Jesus says, "Listen, I'm it. I'm here. I'm amongst you. You've been waiting for me. It's me. Come to me and drink." And he says the same thing here in verse 6. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." Jesus fulfills the seventh and final feast of Tabernacles in heaven. And we're able to be with him as we're drinking the water. You know, from what I gather, it seems like there still is eating and drinking somehow in heaven. We think about the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will read next week about this eating of the tree of life for the healing of the nations. So there's food, there's fruit, there's water, there's all these things. And I'm glad for that, because one of the things I look forward to the most during the COVID thing was all those meals that came to my house or the camp. I mentioned it this morning, but it was the highlight of my day. I would say, "Oh, the lepes are cooking. It's going to be good." You know. So one day I got a pot roast. I got chicken with rice. I got a beautiful salad from the Dornans. And the best thing about it is this. I was quarantined with my mother-in-law, like I said. She couldn't eat anything. So I ate everything. So it was a glorious time for me. But I think in heaven, it's going to be very similar. It's going to be a wonderful celebration continually. At the baptism today, it's going to be burgers and beans and potato salad. That's like Texas barbecue right there, right? But except we don't kill the steer ourselves. We buy it in the ham. But, you know, it's going to be glorious in heaven. It is. It's going to be a great time. And, again, the fact that there's going to be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying. Water that refreshes us. The priests back in the day of the Jews, they did that to remind themselves of the water that came from the rock when Moses hit the rock. But Paul says that water, that rock, was Jesus Christ in the wilderness. And that Jesus is going to be with us forever in heaven. We're going to be with him. So many new things, so much happening there. You don't want to miss it for sure. You say to yourself, "Okay, Tony, that's great. That's coming in the future. But what about right now? I'm so burdened with work and with this COVID and with fires burning. I can't go to Lake Tahoe because there's smoke everywhere." You know, I mean, there's so many things going on. It burdens us. You don't have to wait for heaven to have new things. I'm going to give you 10 new things right now that are yours right now. Here we go, very quickly. Psalm 40. Verse 3. And man, if you think all the old hymns were as good as it gets, not so. Not so. God puts a new song in our hearts, in our lips. And we ought to embrace those young people who are writing new songs. That means the Spirit is moving in their hearts too. We should not be those crotchety old Christians that say, "Oh, the hymns were the best. Nothing has come close." Not so. That's saying God doesn't create new things. He does create new things. Isaiah 43:19. "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not see it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert." The Lord makes a way for us when things look really bad. God tells Isaiah, "You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm making a whole new way for you." You think the glory days, you're looking back on those days, man, there's so much ahead that's so much better than what you think was the best days. 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favorites, especially at a camp for kids who've been abused. "If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new." All those terrible memories you have of being abused, all the scars, all the habits that you've taken on because of that abuse, come to Jesus. He'll rid you of that stuff. He'll make you a new creation. Let him do that. John 13:34. Jesus, a new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. No greater love. No greater love than that. That's a new commandment. Matthew 26. He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant. No longer bulls and goats and lambs and turtle doves. My blood, the final sacrifice, the new covenant. Revelation 2:17, he who overcomes, I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name, which no one knows except him who receives it. Man, I was so glad to have a new reputation when I was almost 16. I had built up a terrible reputation. And when the Lord Jesus came into my life, he gave me a new reputation, a new name. That's an awesome thing. Revelation 5:9, and they sang a new song. Kristen and Joy just sang it. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Praise the Lord. A new heaven and a new earth. You know, on several occasions in the scriptures, God gives a new name to somebody or to a city. In Genesis, Abram becomes Abraham, father of many. Jacob becomes Israel, governed by God. In the Gospel of Matthew, we see Jesus. Saul becomes Paul. Saul, you think you're great and mighty? You're going to become like a little pawn, a little chess piece in my hands for me. And in Revelation 2:17, we see a new name given to those who are in Christ Jesus. Have you got that name? Have you been given that new identity in Christ Jesus? If you have, then praise the Lord. Let's live in that newness of life that we have. If you've never received new life in Jesus, then let today be the day. This is the day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's celebrate. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him. If the Lord's been knocking at the door of your heart and you've been ignoring him or hiding from him, like when you see Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door, you know what? No, don't do that. Let your heart be open to Jesus Christ. Let your heart be open to him now. Answer the door. Invite him in. He's got a new heart waiting for you. And let's pray. Thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for giving us times of refreshing like this. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you call us to live in the newness of life. Lord, you've put a new song in our heart. You made us a new creation. You gave us a new commandment to love one another. You established the new covenant in your blood. You've made a new way for us, streams in the desert. And Lord, now you call us. You call us to live in newness of life, to be a new creation. And Lord, if there's anybody here that has never done that before, that has never received you, that has never allowed you to do that to them, I pray they would humble their hearts right now and pray a prayer like this. Dear Jesus, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for ignoring you or hiding from you. I have lived in my old sinful self for too long, Lord. I am so ready for a change. I repent right now. I turn away from my sins, and I turn to you, Jesus. My face looks at you, Jesus, and my heart cries out, please forgive me. Give me newness of life. Let me be born again of the Spirit. A new creation. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, now help me to walk in the newness of life. Help me to never go back to those things that used to enslave me. The same old tricks by the same old serpent. Lord, let me be free from that. And let me tell somebody today that I was set free by Jesus today. And Lord, now as we go to the camp and we enjoy the baptism. Lord Jesus, let this be a celebration of the newness of life, Lord. As good as it gets on earth, as we gather as brothers and sisters to celebrate somebody who said yes to you, Jesus. And now they want everybody else to know about it. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that you've given us so many new things. God, help us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, let's stand together. And again, ending a bit early today, trying to get ourselves over to the camp to get in that water. And by the way, this is kind of funny. The temperature was probably the coldest last night it's been in a long time. That pool is hovering right around 72. Man, you're not going to want to stay in too long. But I'm going to give you the treatment. You know, Fred and I are going to team up. Reagan's going to be in there with Alex. It's going to be awesome. So get ready. And then afterwards, you're invited to swim too. You say, Tony, I didn't bring a swim. Hey, I'll give you some scissors, cut the jeans, just get in there, have a good time. But enjoy these days like this, because we know there's tough days ahead. Let's enjoy today, the next 2 hours. That'd be awesome.
Shadow feet toward home, a land that I've never seen. I am changing, less and less asleep, made of different stuff than when I began. And I have sensed it all. Fast approaching is the day when the world has fallen out from under me. I'll be found in you, still standing. When the sky rolls up and the mountains fall on their knees, when time and space are through, I'll be found in you. There's distraction buzzing in my head, staying in the shadows, it's easier to stay. But I put rumors of true reality, whispers of a well-lit way. When the world is falling out from under me, I'll be found in you, still standing. When the sky rolls up and the mountains fall on their knees, when time and space are through, I'll be found in you.
new song ministering to us. Awesome. Hey, one thing too, before we head out, on your way to the baptism, of course, you're welcome to get a cup of vanilla nut coffee with a donut that was made by the Holmans. They made some chocolate donuts. That'll be like an appetizer for you, especially if you're getting in the water, Alex. That might be just enough to get you through the 72 degrees. But that's going to be a neat time. Also, the men's Bible study starts up again this week. It starts up in 2 weeks, August 31st, 6:30 a.m. to 7:45 a.m. right here at the church, August 31st. Calvary Chapel Ramona will be holding a two-day women's retreat. It's a commuter retreat. Friday night, September 17th, and then Saturday morning, September 18th. There are sign-ups in the back, so we'd love to join the other churches like our youth did when we joined Ramona Calvary Chapel. We joined with Mountain View and with Grace and Hillside. It's just great to get together as the body of Christ to come together. Love it. So let's take advantage of those opportunities. And again, thanks to all who provided meals and medicines to everybody. God bless you for your compassion and your kindness. And Lord, thank you for the food we're about to eat. As we depart from here, Lord Jesus, let us get fired up, filled up, Lord, for this baptism. Deliver us all safely to the camp, Lord. And then let us slow down, especially me, Lord. Slow down a bit and enjoy what's going on, what you're doing, Jesus. Help us to not miss it. But let us go real slow today. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you have tithes and offerings, you can leave them at the door. There's a basket. And we'll see you in a few hours. Or actually, we'll see you in 30 minutes. Holy moly, I got to get over there. So see you there. Thanks for coming.